Greetings, brothers and sisters, saints and friends. Welcome to another episode of Esther 414, Hadassah Speaks. I am your host, Hadassah, coming to the kingdom for such a time as this. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode. The opening song is The Crucifixion, featuring PJ Greaves, and sang by the Spirituals Choir. So this is the second part of the Easter series that I have decided to do in this season. And as I was reading the crucifixion story and the story of Jesus's the lead up to the betrayal, the crucifixion, and the resurrection, as I've been reading the story to prepare for these episodes, I was kind of drawn to the story of Judas, the betrayal. So I'm going to focus this particular episode, or part two, on the betrayal of Jesus Christ by Judas Iscariot. And we're going to see what are some of the different lessons that can be learned from the betrayal by Judas. So I'm going to be coming from, as the foundational scripture, Matthew chapter 26, and I'm going to go ahead and start at verse 1. Matthew chapter 26, go ahead and start at verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, Ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. But they said, Not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people." So this is after Jesus has raised Lazarus from the dead. And during the Passover time, on the Passover feast, the scribes and the Pharisees are trying to figure out how they can kill Jesus, because they're upset that people are believing, that a lot of the Jews are believing, and they feel like the whole world is going after Jesus Christ. And they don't want that, because they feel that if that happens, they will lose their position and status. The Romans will take away what they have. And so they are looking to sacrifice this one man for the nation of Israel. And so they got together and decided, how can we secretly kill him? And they're going to get some help, as we know. So I'm going to go on and read verse 6. "Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor." So while Jesus is at dinner at Simon the leper's house, in the city of Bethany, or the town of Bethany, a woman comes and she anoints Jesus with some very expensive ointment. And the people that are watching, the disciples, they think that it's a waste. Verse 10, "When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me you have not always. For in that she have poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman have done be told for a memorial of her." Just by her doing this kind act on the Lord. Now we are reading about the woman and her alabaster box. The whole world who has the gospel of Jesus Christ, who has read and studied it, we have heard about this woman. So Jesus, what Jesus said in verse 13 certainly has come to pass. We're going to go on to verse 14. It says, "Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, What will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. Now, I don't know what got into Judas other than the devil himself, which we will read. But why was the devil allowed to get into Judas? Why Judas and not the other disciples? What was it in Judas that made him think, you know what, this is a good opportunity to go ahead and betray Jesus? The scribes and the Pharisees and the leaders of the Jewish people, they were trying to figure out how they could do it secretly. And Judas answered that for them by coming to him. They didn't go to Judas. Judas went to them. They were glad about it, and they made a covenant together, and they paid him 30 pieces of silver to betray Jesus. Now, with the Last Supper, verse 17, now the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare for there to eat the Passover? And he said, go into the city to such a man and say unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. He's sitting down not with the 11, but with the 12. With Judas included, sitting down with Jesus in the inner circle, knowing that he had betrayed Jesus. Verse 20. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. One of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? All of them, all 12 of them, were sorrowful and asking, is it I? Now, one of them knew that it was him. But in order not to be found out what he thought, he would go along and go along and do what the rest of them were doing and ask, is it I? And verse 23, and he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in this dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. So Jesus said, when I'm betrayed, I'm going to go. I'm going to go as it is written. But woe unto the man who betrayed me. His lot is going to be so bad, it would have been better if he had not even been born. Now imagine being Judas, sitting at that table, hearing those words come from the Lord's mouth. Now he had walked with him, he had seen him do the miracles. He, I believe, knew who Jesus was, knew the power that this man had. And now he's telling you that, yeah, I'm going to go when I'm betrayed, but you need to know that the one of you that has done this, is better that you had not been born. A fear must have come over him. Okay. Verse 25. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, Master, is it I? Even Judas is asking the question, is it I? Now, is he asking because he doesn't know that it's him? Or is he asking to make it everybody else believe that it's not him? And then Jesus responded. He said unto him, thou hast said, you have said. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. So in this gospel account in Matthew, we have Judas, before he ever gets to the supper, already have taken the bag, taken the money, the 30 pieces of silver, to betray Jesus. He's already done that. And now he's at the supper pretending like he doesn't know that he has already done that. Now let's look at John 13 and look at another accounting of the same story. So I'm going to go to John chapter 13. And we're going to start at verse 21. And it says, when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. So again, Jesus is letting them know that, look, there's some one of you is going to betray me. And they want to know who it is, because the other 11 know in their heart of hearts that that's not something that they, or they believe in their heart of hearts, that that's not something that they would be able to bring themselves to do. So knowing that Jesus has knowledge of everything, they're asking, well, who can it be? And but the disciple that Jesus loved that's laying on his bosom, Peter, he reached out to him and said, you know, because since you're closer to him, find out who it is. And so Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spoke. He then lying on Jesus' breast saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. The one that I give the sop to, that's who it is. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. After the sop, after Jesus gave the sop to Judas, Satan, the scripture says, Satan entered into Judas. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. Now, he could have been talking to Satan himself, or he could have been talking to Judas. But he's given them a command, given him, the him, in this verse, a command to go ahead and do what you're going to do. Now, no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. So they didn't know what Jesus meant by that. They didn't know that he was telling Judas to go ahead and finish out the task that you started by first plotting to give me over to these people. They didn't know that's what Jesus was talking about. They thought, well, maybe he's going to tell them to go buy something because Judas holds the money bag. He holds the money. He, verse 30, he then having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. So soon as Jesus told Satan or Judas, to go and do whatever you're going to do, go do it quickly. Immediately, he obeyed and got up and went to do it. Immediately. So I'm going to go over to John 18, where we find out where Judas brings the people over to get Jesus. So we're going to switch over and go over to John chapter 18. Let's go ahead and start at verse 1. It says, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook of Cedron, where was a garden into which he entered, and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oftentimes resorted thither with his disciples. So Judas had been to this place before. Once again, he's in the inner circle. He knows Jesus' habits and patterns. And that's why it's easier for those, for the people that are closer to you to betray you, because they know you. They know your comings. They know your goings because you're friends. These things have been shared with them. So it's easy for Judas to do this. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oftentimes resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Who are you looking for? Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. What in the world would that have looked like? This is the man that you have been walking with for years. Walking with, talking with, fellowshipping with, watching him do all of these miracles, knowing the heart of Jesus. And you can stand with the enemies of God. You just left a supper with him. Yet you're standing there as if he is a perfect stranger to you. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. All Jesus said was, I am. I am. And that made them fall backwards to the ground. Now me, if I'm in that group and this man speaks and I fall simply by the power and authority that's in his voice, I'm going to leave it alone. But they had to fulfill prophecy. Then asked he them again, Who you looking for? Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake of them, which thou gavest me, of them which thou gavest me, have I lost none. So he said, you looking for me. Since you're looking for me, take me. I'm him. But I don't need you to mess with the rest of these, the disciples. Let them go. And that fulfilled the prophecy where he said, of all the ones that you gave me, Father, I didn't lose any but the one. That the same might be fulfilled which he spake, of them which thou gavest me, have I lost none. So here you've got Judas who sat at the dinner. And then when the Satan entered him, he left and went and got these people that were coming to look for Jesus. And when they got there, they came with weapons. These officers of the chief priests and Pharisees, they came with torches and weapons. Torches and weapons for Jesus, who's humble, who hasn't caused anybody any harm. But this is how they are approaching him. And they got to him thanks to Judas. So we're going to look at another account of Judas, a gospel account of Judas betraying Jesus. So we're going to go ahead and look at Luke chapter 22, and we're going to start at verse 47. So Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying. And while, verse 47, and while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? Do you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, Suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. And Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, But ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves. When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. So once again, Judas, this particular accounting of the story shows Judas betraying Jesus with a kiss. So he had already told them, whichever one I kiss, that is the one that you're looking for. And Jesus is saying, why y'all coming at me with sticks and weapons and things like that? What's the point of doing all of that? Am I a thief? Think about it. What is Jesus being arrested for? What is he being arrested for? He has done nothing but help the people. But he's being arrested. And this is the way they're coming at him, like a common criminal. And all at the hands or by the hands of one of the inner circle. So I wanted to, before we end, really quickly talk about some of the things that stood out for me as I was reading the story about Judas. And I'll call it lessons from the betrayal. So one of the things that I learned while reading is that we already know that Judas was not right. And if we look at the story about when Jesus was washing the feet of the disciples, he mentioned that one of you is not clean. So he also, when in an accounting of the woman anointing Jesus with the expensive ointment, Judas got upset. And Jesus said he didn't get upset because of her wasting it. He's upset because he wanted to be able to spend it, to sell it and spend it, because he cares about money. So Judas had a heart for money. He had a love of money, and he was unrighteous. And Jesus called him a thief. He said he's upset because he is a thief. So Jesus already knew the heart of Judas. Even though Judas was in the inner circle, pretending to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, a follower, he still had plenty of sin resting on the inside of him. So he was unclean, and most of that uncleanness came from a love of money. Jesus himself called Judas a thief. A thief. And then also, Judas was fake. This whole time that he is walking around with Jesus, he doesn't really believe. He's seeing these miracles with his eyes. He's seeing Jesus. He's walking and talking. He's in the inner circle, seeing the heart of Jesus, but yet still unbelieving. But he wasn't by himself. Jesus mentioned that there were plenty of Jews who did not, the scriptures mentioned that they did not believe. Even though they saw the miracles, they didn't believe. And it's just like it is today, that you can read about the miracles of Jesus. He can do wonderful things and exceptional things in your own life, and yet you still reject Jesus Christ. And the fake and phoniness of pretending to be a believer, that goes on every day in churches all over the world. People are in the inner circle. They're moving about as believers, as real believers, and we know that they are not true believers because of the way that they're living their lives. Also, Judas was used by Satan. The Bible tells us that Satan entered into Judas and he went and did these things. But why didn't he enter into the other vessels? Because those vessels were clean. The other disciples had clean vessels, and Judas was unclean. He had a sin portal that Satan could enter into, and one of it was the lust of the flesh. He had a love of money, and he was more interested in the material and the natural world than he was into the spirit world. So what happened is he was the easiest one for Satan to tempt and the easiest one for Satan to speak to his mind and to get him to betray Jesus, because he had sin still very present in his life. Also, Jesus knew the thoughts and the hearts of Judas, because if we look at John 12:6, you can see what he said about him. He said that he was a thief. Let's go to John chapter 12 and verse 6 and read it. So John chapter 12, I'm going to start at verse 1. It says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, a pound, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then, this is the same lady with the alabaster box, but this time this accounting gives her a name. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. Now, the other gospels say the disciples said, but this gospel says that a specific one, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Verse 6, this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. So he's looking at this thing in terms of money. You don't waste a pound on Jesus. So that lets you know how Judas was viewing Jesus. He wasn't thinking about who she was doing it for or who she was doing it to. He was caught up in how much money they could have added to the bag that he had possession over. He had the stewardship over the bag. So something like a treasurer, I suppose. But he was the one that was holding the bag. And he's thinking to himself, we could have sold this and given it to the poor. But he wouldn't have had no intentions of giving that money to the poor. He would have added to the money that was already in the bag. Then no doubt he was stealing, because that's what the word says. He was a thief. So we're already looking at the character of Judas before he ever makes it to the Last Supper. We see his character. So he was an easy one for Satan to enter and to use, because he wasn't all in with Jesus Christ. And he was unclean, unrighteous, and the sin still remained with him. Also, Jesus knew the outcome of Judas's transgression. Because remember, he said, woe to that man that betrayed me. I'm going to go when they come, Judas, betrayer. I'm going to go. But I want you to know that the one who is betraying me, you have got a consequence that you are going to have to face. It's going to be so bad that you would wish that you had never been born. So Jesus already knew who was going to betray him, and he knew what was going to be the fate of that person who did so. Also, Judas realized his mistake when it was too late, because he wanted to go and give the money back. He understood that once he had done that, it hit him that, you know what, my end, this is not worth it. This 30 pieces of silver, it is not worth what I have just done. But it's too late now, because you've already done it, and it's too late. And so his fate was that he went and hung himself. He threw the money back at the people, and they didn't want it back because the money was dirty, had blood on it. And he ended up hanging himself and dying. So it really wasn't worth it, but prophecy was going to be fulfilled. And also, Judas sought out a way to betray Jesus. Nobody came to him. They didn't. The chief priests and his counselors and elders, they didn't come to Judas and say, hey, can you do this for us? He went and offered it up. It was already in his heart how he could make a dollar. And lastly, Jesus remained in control throughout the whole thing. He was in control. He understood what was going to happen. He knew who was going to do it. And how it was going to happen. He's always God. Even while he was being man, he was omniscient. He was all knowing. And even then, he was still in an authoritative position, because when he told Judas, go do it now, when Satan entered and he said, go do it quickly, they obeyed. Whether that he is Judas or whether that he is the Satan that was in Judas, he immediately obeyed and did exactly what Jesus said. So Jesus remained in control throughout it all for our sakes, so that we can be redeemed back to the Father. He walked out what had been planned from the foundation of the world to save the souls of men. He walked it out, always in full control. So even though Judas betrayed him, he ended up hanging himself and receiving in himself what he had put out. So that is all that I have for you. There will be another part 3. I'll try my best to put it on tomorrow on Easter Sunday, where we will most likely deal with the resurrection, the crucifixion, and the resurrection. So until next time, grace and peace.